We're going to read Psalm 38, the latest in our series, Working Through the Psalms. Psalm 38, a psalm of David, a petition. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Saviour.
I want to ask, how are you feeling this morning?
All right.
Tired, yeah? Busy? Because emotions are important. How we're feeling is important. But actually, how often do we talk about them? How often, when we come to church, are we open about how we really feel? When we ask each other, how are you doing, do we go, yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. I'm fine. When the reality is, we're not really. We've got things going on. Do you know what? I'm tired. I worked 10 hours yesterday, and it was just a long day on my feet. And I have to be honest, I'm really tired. I woke up, and I've drunk quite a lot of energy drinks this morning, and I'm definitely not feeling the benefit. And I'm sad. Abby's leaving us. Somebody who I have a lot of respect for and see as a friend is going to go. And we're not going to see her anymore, but I know she goes into a new season and God is really going to bless that. But the fact is, she's not going to be here and her work blessing us, so that is sad. And this is one thing why I love the Psalms, because the Psalms are very emotional. They're like what we would class as a blog, or a just insights into where somebody is, where they just go, do you know what, I'm going to drop the bravado and I'm just going to be honest. Obviously last week we had Psalm 37 and David is like, woo-hoo, Life is good. God is good. Awesome. This week, we're not there. We are struggling massively. And actually, isn't that part of life? Isn't it that life comes with ups and downs? Isn't it that actually, if we're struggling, we need to be honest about it, especially in here, because we're brothers and sisters who care for each other. We need to be able to be open and say, do you know what, I'm struggling. Do you know what? I need that extra support. I'm just feeling rough today. Have you had a bad week? Are you feeling tired? I bet the gents that went on camp are feeling tired after a definite great week, but obviously completely way more active and outside and things like that, something out of the normal for them. And here we are, here's David, who, let's be honest, he hasn't been a good boy, and we all know what that feels like. And he comes before God with a complete openness and honesty about how he's feeling, that actually he's open and honest and knows he's done wrong, that he's sinned, that he's stepped out of line. And it's a bit like you come into a parent, and those who have kids know all about this, that there's different types of openness when it comes to kids being honest about what they've done. There's those who will go, do you know what? Yeah, I did it. I hit that person, or I took that person, or I said that thing. And then there'll be those that sort of like try and brush it off or ignore it or look the other direction. And then there's those who just try and deny it and try and get, go, no, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. No, that was them. They did that. It wasn't me. I didn't break that plate. That was them. Sort of thing. And here David is saying, no, I have done wrong, and I fully take and understand the consequences of my wrongdoing. So what about us? How do we come before God? Now, everybody in the whole world is living under something called common grace, and that is the grace that God gives us, that our actions do not have all the time immediate consequences. So what I mean by that is, if I go out and run somebody over with my car, I'll have immediate consequences. Obviously, the police will come and get me, take me away and probably do me for dangerous driving or whatever. Whereas if I go out in my car, somebody cuts me up and I say a naughty word or get really angry and want to punch them in the face, then there might not, in my opinion, there may not be any consequence to that. But actually, God knows everything that we do. He knows our hearts, he knows our minds, he knows our thoughts and our actions, and he holds us to account for everything that we do. So even though at times we may not see that consequence straight away, there's still a consequence to be paid. There's still a wrongdoing, a breaking down of that relationship. And actually, as Christians, we can forget that. We can get comfortable. We can not hold sin to the importance of which God wants us to. We can be like that naughty, the kid who thinks, oh, I'll get away with it. Oh, it's all right. Turn on my post-it notes. The kid who wants to get away with it. We can treat sin not as seriously as God does it. Do you know who loses out at that point? It's not God. It's us. Because that gets in the way of the relationship between us and God. It's us that miss out when we don't treat sin as bad as God does. And don't get me wrong, God is not going, look, guys, I expect you to be perfect, because he knows we can't achieve it. He just wants us to sin less. And then one day we will be sinless. But that is obviously in eternity. But actually, how comfortable are we with what we do? What we class as little sins, how often do we let them go? Have those little habits come into our lives and taken a bit of a foothold? And these things, not broken, but separated us that little bit from God, and that little and detracting from what God wants us to do in our lives. For our aim is to take up our cross every day, to become more like Christ, to be like David here, where he is fully open and honest about what he's done and the consequences of that, that actually he's so hurt by the sin that he's committed that it's like it's just took over his life, in the fact that he's like, I can't do anything because I know how badly I've done and how wrong it is, that actually I've broken that relationship between me and God. And like, so I'm reading from the ESV, so it might be it's slight difference to what you guys have in the NIV. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. Verse 3. There is no health in my bones because of my sin, for my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. Here's a guy who is a king. We're talking about kings. He was King David. He was doing pretty well. The Bible says that this guy is a man of God's own heart, so his relationship with God was great, and yet he still messed up, he still did things wrong, but he realized that actually every time he messed up he was damaging himself, he was holding himself back. And yeah, there was different consequences to his sin, we know that, the like earthly consequences, but actually what God wanted for him because of his sin didn't happen. Because, like we were saying, and Matthew said at the start, that actually he put himself on the throne. He didn't put God on the throne. He didn't do exactly what God wanted to do. He went, no, actually, I want to do this, and I'm going to do this. And then because he did one thing, it was like, I'm going to do this as well. And it just led to an absolute mess. And ultimately, God has a plan and a purpose for every single person in this building. And it's far greater than anything you can ever imagine. No matter what your age is, no matter what your social status is, whatever, God wants to use you in the places he sends you. And that includes me way more. I totally feel under the condemnation of this, that actually the places that I go, God wants to use me in those places. But actually, if I step out of line, if I put myself on the throne of my life instead of him, I'm going to hijack myself, because I'm trusting in me. I'm not trusting in him. I'm not putting my faith in him. I'm not letting him, even though life's hard, and sometimes it's easy. You've had a tough day, you're hard, you think, do you know what? I'm just going to do this. This person's annoying. I'm just going to whatever. But actually, no. God promises that he'll give us everything that we need. That he is that loving father. He is the king who will protect us and look out for us and deliver us from evil. All we need to do is trust him through the good times and the bad. And for those in here who are non-Christians, you're living like an orphan. You're living like, my life doesn't have consequences, that actually I can just, to a degree, do what I want. Obviously, there's morality and laws and things like this. But in the grand scheme of things, you're just saying, well, actually, what I do doesn't matter. I can live for me. As long as I'm not hurting anybody else, what's so bad? But God is the king. God created us. Like those kids have created those wonderful things here. So he knows what we should be used for. He knows what we're capable of. He knows all about us, all the gifts and abilities and the potential that's in us. And actually, if we want to put ourselves on the throne and say, well, I'll do it my own way, we're robbing ourselves of the full use and potential that God has given us. That actually those things that the world says is good are not. Let me just frame my whole talk in another verse, John 10:10. For Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. And this is Jesus talking, I came to give life and life in its fullness. That actually there's two voices, there's two people at play. Either we follow the devil's way and go, well, that seems good to me. I want to do that. I want to try that. I want to do this thing. That seems like it'll be pleasurable, enjoyable, whatever. That. Or there's God's way, our creator, the person who made us and knows us far better than we know ourselves, even knows how many hairs are on our heads. And the reality is, who are we going to follow? Are we going to play the orphan and just think, I'll do what I want? Are we going to actually trust God? And for as Christians, are we going to follow him completely? It is easy to be comfortable. Trust me, I know that. It's easy as a Christian to be comfortable, especially when times get hard. Because we want that release, we want that relaxation, we want just that little hug sort of thing. And so we follow earthly things that actually don't give us, they give us the opposite of what we want and need in those situations. I'm just thinking about David, how he was feeling. Just emotions are interesting in the fact that at times they can build false realities. They can show us things or lead us to places that just aren't real sort of thing. And that actually he just felt, it wasn't true, but he just felt completely useless and worthless. And what's that? That's just feeding the lies of the devil. I know from my personal experience, I know there'll be people here who've been put down a lot, who've had bad life experiences where people have treated you awful. And actually part of that still exists in your life, that at times those voices come back, back to your remembrance. That actually you get that thought that you are useless, that you are rubbish, you're worthless, you're not good at anything. But the reality is that even David here in this point, at this low point, was still loved by God. God's plan and purpose for him had not changed. Even though he was like, do you know what? I feel rubbish. I'm just completely and utterly crushed. I can't do anything. I just need saving. But that truth of his reality of sin and that relationship of God were brilliant, marred by his view of God. He'd missed the point that God was there for him, that he'd felt like that naughty kid in front of the angry parent sort of thing. Now, I've got angry at my kids. That I know they seem like wonderful angels, all three of them. Oh, Hannah's shaking her head. But the reality is they do things wrong at times, as we all have done, and our parents have told us off. But actually, God isn't there just to discipline us, just to smack our bottoms or put us on the naughty step or however you were disciplined as a kid. He's there to say, look, you've done wrong. I know. Come, I'll give you a hug. And if you truly, truly turn away from what you've done wrong, I'll help you. I'll help you learn from your mistakes. I'll help you grow. I'll help you become more like Jesus every day. We've just got to trust him. We've just got to follow him. And we've just got to realize that putting ourselves, making ourselves king, doesn't work. It might seem like it works, even in that we could have a season where everything's going well. It'll always fail, because God knows. God knows who we are, and his heart and passion for us is to deepen that relationship with us. And David knew that. David knew that he had broken that relationship. And we need to know that sin breaks out. It doesn't, do you know what I mean? It doesn't break like God goes, no. But actually, it widens that gap. But not that God moves. God doesn't go, oh, you're so naughty, I'm moving. But actually, we feel like we've stepped away, we're unworthy. But God's like, no, I'm still there for you. I still love you. I still want that relationship with you. Yeah, you've messed up. But actually, I love that honesty. I love that openness. I love that you see the areas of fault in your life and you want to change and you want to become more like Christ. You want to be more useful for me. You want to seek after my heart and my will for your life instead of us going, ah, it's all right. I can get away with this. This isn't a big sin. This isn't a big wrongdoing. This isn't that bad. God doesn't mind. No, God does mind. God does care. And he knows that by continuing to do it, we're the ones that miss out. But he'll still love us. He'll still be with us. He'll still take us in that circle of trying to show us that there's a better way. He is our loving Father, and we need to follow him and be there with him. But we also need to take a serious approach to our sin. We need to know that it stops us, that it holds us back from what God wants for us. Just like David, he felt it. He felt that depth of loss. I pray that God helps us to mourn over our sin, to realise the difference that it makes to us, and that he'll give us the power and the presence to grow more like Christ every day. And that actually, no matter how we feel or where those realities take us, that we will know that he is our King. Yes, but he is also our Father, and that he loves us. And no matter what we do, he is always there for us, and he will always, arms open, ready to receive us.